The footy is on Triple M. The weekend is here.
I like it.
And so is Triple M footy.
And doesn't he love it?
I just want to say I've got a pretty good feeling about this.
For Kogan Mobile. Make the switch to Kogan Mobile's 365-day plan now. Just $120 for 12 months. Visit koganmobile.com.au/radio.
This is the Friday Huddle.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Oh, it's that time of the week, the Friday Huddle, rolling into your world. Welcome wherever you're listening, around Victoria, around Australia, around the world, as we lead up to a tremendously large game of footy. The Blues are in the top four. They take on the Swans at home. We'll bring you all that in 1 hour and 50 minutes time. Chief is back. He's got his quiz where he takes on a punter versus one of us. David Rees-Jones is our cult hero. What a player he was. Nate's top five is back. And then probably the two greatest Queenslanders to ever play the game, Jason Dunstall and Michael Wasko, one-on-one on the boundary. So much to look forward to. Chief's looking like he's not aware of that. But Luke Darcy is the captain. We introduce you first.
Hello. You know, it's always my favourite time of the week, Howie, to be here. And I admire acts of courage. If you turn up in double denim, Howie,
yes,
you're in pretty good shape. And that's what Nate Brown's done tonight. Double denim brown, not something you see too often. But as he said to me on the way in, I've got God on my side, Duke. I can do what I like. That's sort of look like Ian Chappell in the 1980s.
Well, if you've got God on your side, Duke, who can be against you? Now, I feel pretty good. I come in here every
night. You smell good. What are you wearing?
All of a sudden,
what are you wearing?
I get things thrown at me that I'm wearing double denim. This is actually a flannelette shirt.
Tell you what we'll do. We'll get a little photo for the Triple M family just to see if we are being inaccurate or not, Nate.
And well, the great Trent Crowe used to say, look good, feel good, play good.
What, you smell good. What are you wearing?
Wow.
Hey, what are you wearing? You smell good.
It's one of Christina's creations from SOH Melbourne. It's cool. What is it called?
So one of her creations or one of her perfumes?
One of her perfumes. Well, she created it, Chief. It's one of her perfumes, one of her creations. It's the same thing,
scent
really.
Scent of Nate or something, is it? Or?
It is quite feminine. It's nice.
It's not feminine. It's unisex.
Chief, is it feminine?
Extreme. The first thing Warrior said, we looked at each other, he goes, gee, it's feminine. I'm going, oh, no. And powerful, strong.
You're wearing Christina's perfume.
No.
You are, aren't you?
He is. I think he is.
I think you've got a real duck five applicator too as well. It's quite pungent.
It's a strong one. We like to make him strong.
The Chief's here. We've missed the Chief. He's been absent for 2 weeks. The show's been poorer for it. Hello, Jason. Always nice to see you.
Hello, Mark. How are we all? I heard something about boundary.
Yes, you're one-on-one with Vossi.
I don't mind that, but I don't do boundary.
You did look a bit surprised when that came up.
No, happy to go down and chat to Vossi. That'll be good fun, actually.
Don't lie.
They're going very, very well, the Blues. And it's interesting. I like the matchup tonight, so we get a good guide on both these teams tonight, I think.
Queensland's two best ever, surely, you and Vossi.
Which order, Howie?
There's a question. I think Canadian 1254 is number one, surely.
I think he's got to go number one, doesn't he?
Would anyone disagree with that, Darce?
Our man, Chief, is number one.
Did win a Brownlow, though.
Jason Ackermanis?
Vossi was captain of the Queensland team of the century.
You want a Brownlow?
Vossi!
Don't be humble, Chief, because that's not you behind closed doors. When you speak to us, you talk yourself up, as you should. 1,254 goals, four premierships.
What are you talking about?
You're very happy with yourself.
So they didn't put you as captain in the Queensland team?
No, I was vice captain.
Yeah.
That's disappointing.
Took it well.
So they thought Vossi was better.
He's a leader, mate.
He's a leader.
He's a premiership captain.
You're a leader, Chief.
He probably hung around Queensland longer, Vossi, so that's maybe why.
Chief, you're a true Queenslander, because he grew up in Melbourne initially, or Victoria, until he's about 9 or 10. So
I am a true Queenslander. Yeah. You're right there, Warrior.
Yep. So, yeah, I'm vote one, Chief.
Who else was in the Queensland team of the century, Chief? Who was sent up forward?
I can't remember, mate. I'll get it up. I'll get it past one
of the great Bogan teams, that one, wasn't it?
Mate. Sorry. Are you in the Bendigo team of the century? Where did you come from?
That's right, Bendigo.
The Bush Scrubbers team of the century?
Great Diesel.
I think I am.
It'd be the great Diesel.
Diesel's in there. Cambo.
You wouldn't get a berth in that.
Yes, I would.
Chief.
Have they done one?
No, I don't think so.
Best player in the competition for 10 games.
For 9 weeks.
10.
10.
Damo is here. Hello to you, Damien.
Hello. Just on this game, I know we don't normally talk footy the first segment. This could be the game of the year, I reckon. It's got that potential.
Big call.
Jeez. Game of the year.
Well, I'm looking forward to it as much as I've looked forward to a Friday night game all year.
Is it Carlton's biggest game in a decade?
You could make that claim. Yeah.
We're always interested in social media. It drives the world these days, social media.
I'm learning a lot about it, Howie. It's not my strong point.
Chief's
influencer.
No, I don't know much about it.
Nath was putting out bed ads last week on his social media.
Temper mattresses. Got a new Temper mattress from Jason Nicholas. But always worries me when somebody he's either rolling with two phones, like two phones Tony Sheehan, or you've got two accounts, two social media accounts. Mm. You start to ask questions about what that guy does after dark and what he does when nobody else is looking.
Like a burner account.
Like a burner account. That's exactly right.
Well, it's come to light that Barrett Damien _ has been added alongside Barrett Damien _. So the first question before we delve deeply into it is, why have you got two Insta accounts?
Well, they're not burners because they're both my name. Look, you guys revealed last week I was scammed. $2,800.
Yes.
My phone is now, as told to me by Apple, well, my bank, who told me to ring Apple, it's now a dirty phone. And I've had to shut down apps. And the problem with what...
Explain a dirty phone to us.
Well,
maybe that's why you got hacked.
They won't let me back onto the internet banking. They won't let me back onto the internet banking until it's been virus free.
Right.
So I shut down an Instagram account,
yes,
and then couldn't remember the password because it's at an old Croc Media account.
Right.
So I then re-established it through the Facebook. This is a very boring story, Harry.
No, it's not.
No, it's fascinating. It's we're very dialed into this.
I know it's not boring to you, but it is a literally boring story.
So and you told it this way to Janine when she asked what was happening.
What's happened?
Well, the fact that you've got two accounts now and you've got a dirty phone.
Because I don't have access to one of them.
Did you explain that to Janine way you just explained to us? Because it doesn't sound plausible.
Well, if I said to Beck, I just wrote the paraphrase and said, Beck, I've got a dirty phone and I'm creating a second Instagram account. Well, all's well, though.
It's created more drama for
Janine. There'd be a second question.
She always does have our banking, but I cannot do any banking on my phone. So, yeah.
Well, what we've done, Damo, because your Instagram account is a window to the soul.
Yeah.
Because what you post, it generally reflects what you're into.
His soul,
before you get,
it's been touched on before the soul.
Before you get into this, I have never once posted on Instagram. I have had that initial account on Instagram, and I've re-established one this
week. And that's true, but there's two ways to get an understanding of what someone's about on Instagram. One is what they post.
This is where I'm learning.
And the other
is who they follow.
So we are now going a deep dive investigation into your new account as to who you follow.
Yep.
So I will kick it off. One of your early followers. So you just got to think of what Damo is in life, and then these are the people he's following. I'm going to start.
So this is who Damo follows. They're not following him. This is who Damo chooses to follow.
I don't post.
This is a man who weighs 58 kilos and has glasses.
If you jump on Triple M Footy Instagram now, you can see both Damo's handles, and you can choose whichever Damo you wish to follow.
I don't have access to the one of them.
Well, we're just going to describe between us some of your people that you're following. Now, I think of Damo. I don't generally think of Snoop Dogg. Now, the Snoop's got 73.5 million followers, one of which is Damo. Now, just in case, Chief, you're not sure the type of stuff that the Snoop is putting out, that Damo's invested in. I think the Snoop recently got a request for some tickets to one of his concerts, and this is what the Snoop rolls with on Insta.
Oh, you want tickets to the show? What would Pimpin' Silky say? See about it. You want something soft? I'm not him, and I ain't got no tickets. See about it.
So
that sounds like you, Damo.
That's the second one.
I'm a Snoop Dogg man from way back in the 90s, Howie, when he did some time.
The second one. Now, Chief, this particular group he's following has 10.3 thousand posts. It's got 2 million followers. Damo. Damo is following Surfline. Now, they post photos of surfers and waves and where the best break is in your region, Dars.
Wow.
Now, I haven't seen many waves in Middle Park, but our man is following Surfline.
I can't remember hitting follow on that
one. Well, it's right there.
And I've never once been on a board.
Their hashtag is no before you go.
Okay.
So, Damo, who knows where the waves are? Nate, you like this type of area.
I did it. So I had a deep dive through yours. And the same sort of theme with Snoop Dogg. You've got, you follow Breaking Bad. You follow...
Yes.
Cops caught on video. But then you've got all these Corvette passion, muscle car power, Camaro parts,
have you got the cookie
with a Z, muscle car addiction, black 69 Camaro, Corvette guy, American muscle misfits. But I thought, when I was looking at it, this is a man with two burner accounts. And when was the last time you went to Los Angeles, Damo?
Probably about 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Don't go too often, do you?
I've been about 20 times.
There is more Los Angeles stuff on yours than there is Melbourne. So I look at this.
My first one was 18.
Life Hacks LA.
About 15 times.
LA City Noir. LA Times, LA After Dark, LA Underground, LA Pilates.
You know where he needs to go?
Enjoy LA, LA Bikinis, LA Burgers, Venice.
Now, hang on, keep it factual.
He's hanging out there with the Snoops. So that's why him and Archie's. What was that? Muscle Car Misfits.
Muscle Car Misfits.
Now Damo, I've been sent a couple of people find out. This, but you've told us your phone's got a virus, and to quote Damo, it is a dirty phone. What is casting out Chloe get up to
now you get away from the realms of fact.
This is a Russian fisherwoman.
Keep it factual, boys.
This is all factual, Damo.
A female Russian fisherwoman who now
a fisherwoman. Oh, please.
He's holding a big trout. Chief, am I making that up or not? It's on Damo's account. Have a look at casting out Chloe. Are you into fishing, are you?
Are you into fishing?
Well, surfing. He goes to surf line. He goes fishing and surfing trips.
Russian fishing.
He drives there in his muscle cars.
Lara Worthington.
Oh, that's nice.
You're making this up
now. No, we are not making that up.
Now, we only deal in truth here. And that's
who's Lara Worthington?
Lara Bingle.
I didn't even know that.
Oh, that must have been a slip of your finger on the follow.
Well,
must have
been a late night one.
Not a late night one. Laura the Weber Grillmaster.
That is absolutely.
What does Laura Weber do?
Laura cooks a big beef brisket, it looks like.
There's a lot of cooking ones. Yeah.
Fascinating insight, isn't it?
Chief, it's funny because, you know, I do not dabble in social media, but I've been knocked over with the number of things coming my way. Of people showing genuine concern for where Damo might be headed.
Yes.
Because I fear he's being influenced by people on social media. And a couple of people that I found out that he's following. Have you heard of Jess Pryles?
No, what's Jess do?
I have no idea. She is a public figure, apparently. She's a meat science grad student. And her philosophy is just keep flipping. So I assume she cooks meat and just keeps flipping it over. I have no idea what Damo's doing there.
I'm pretty sure she runs the company Carnivore, Chief.
Yeah, she does too. Yeah. Hardcore Carnivore.
And she's actually very
hardcore
good.
Hardcore Carnivore. Is that porn or is that food?
I've never seen Damo look more uncomfortable in my entire life.
You spoke about Snoop Dogg before.
Yes.
He's got a bit of homie about him. Mate, Flo Rida's his buddy. The great hip-hop king, Flo Rida, who is, a bit of low. He's heavily tattooed. He's got the Q-ball. He's wearing bling everywhere.
I've met Flo Rida.
You're hanging with Flo.
Are you leading
the second? Oh, my God.
And the Logies.
Are you leading the second life, Damo?
This is Rick. Nah. One more I have to bring
I live
up.
A boring
gotcha.
Life.
Gotcha.
And there's a reason we need to bring him up.
Yep.
He follows Diego Maradona.
Oh, he's no longer
now, 7.1 million. But he's been dead for 18 months. He's following a dead man. Just to see what's hanging. This is a man that cheated at a World Cup, the hand of God gold that destroyed England. Yes. Twice been banned from the sport for drugs, and he's done more drugs than bloody Al Pacino in
Scarface,
correct. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Where are you going, Damo?
I think I need to ask that question, don't I?
Gee whiz.
Was that the older can or the new can?
No, it's a combination.
There's a combination we went through.
Damo.
All up, you got 471 people you follow, Damo.
So people can follow him at Barrett Damien underscore.
If you could do me a favour and reinstate the one I did have, that is the one I did actually like.
No, we can't do that, Damo.
Can't you do that?
You've got a dirty phone.
Well, that's the reason I can't.
If Damo gets to 1,000 followers tonight, you'll post for the first time.
No.
Yes, you will.
I haven't posted in my life.
Well, that's why
on
Instagram.
I'm a Twitter user, but not an Instagram user.
Just how often do you send your man Snoop a DM to say, sup, Snoop Dogg?
I wouldn't know how to send a DM, which is a good thing.
I think we need to
look at the fishing one.
Oh, it's a Russian fisherwoman, a legitimate account from what I can see.
Russian fisherwoman.
Doing some weird stuff.
We're going to take a break here and just reset things.
Chief's singing Flo Rida at the moment.
Flo Rida. I can't believe he hangs with Flo. This is ridiculous.
I've met Flo. Nice guy.
For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Damo with the news next.
Midlife crisis.
No about that.
Ross football.
you can stream every AFL match live with Triple M Footy.
What an absolute belter!
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
Tippamudi was going to hand it over to Devin Smith. Now ducks back around. Went left, went right. McDonald Tipper has picked a miracle goal.
Show yourself, Tipper. Kick your third. Shows a bit of candy. Has a third bounce. Tippamudi.
He's coming to get you. He's coming to get you.
Streams through the middle. He's got Tippamudi after him. Woolley runs him down, holding the pillow all day long.
Running towards the goal. It is the pick it up. Decker of Woody got him. McDonald Tippamudi running down. Tippamudi's mark for Essendon. He dummies around the mark. Runs just inside forward 50. It's a real long ball. And have a look at him.
Over the right shoulder. Tipper! He's a star, this kid.
The ultimate definition of bums on seats. Anthony McDonald, Tippamudi announcing his retirement from the Bombers for Kogan Mobile. This is the Triple M Friday Huddle. Make the switch to Kogan Mobile's 365-day plan now. Just $120 for 12 months. Visit koganmobile.com.au/radio. In many ways, Damo, it is a sad day for footy, but hopefully it's a happy day for Anthony McDonald, Tippamudi.
Yeah, well, summarised, Howie, and we're just saying as we were talking about him pre-show and in the ad break just then, how much of a bums on seats operator was at the absolute peak of his power. So, started in 2016, played the 126 games for 153 goals, coming into the system from outside the normal channels, Brownie, and genuinely lit it up. Today, he toes the moment leading into the Dreamtime round of footy for Sir Doug Nicholls round to announce to his teammates at Tullamarine that he was retiring, and he spoke beautifully in so doing.
Just where I see myself in my life and... It's been hard fighting with your head and your heart, and you know, I come to the stage where my heart's telling me it's the right decision to make. So even though it's sad, I think I'm happy within myself to come to a decision where it's time for me to move on from football. So yeah, I'll miss this club. I love this club so much. It gave me the opportunity to pursue my dream, and and I'm going to miss every one of yous.
So even that, Howie, is illustrative of his journey in footy. He wouldn't have been able to speak anywhere like that. Now, the emotion got him in the end, but to articulate his feelings and to express them to a group of people as he did today, it finishes his journey, but it also shows how far he came within that short time in the game.
So, Damo, I haven't heard the whole audio. So what was the main reason? Because obviously there's so many people out there who'd love him to play on who still think he's got a lot to offer the game. What is the main reason why he's walking away from the game now, probably in his prime?
Yeah, injury got him last year around 21, and then he had he had issues relating to that and other matters, and then couldn't get his body right to play. Now, he'd recently come back through the VFL, but has chosen this round for reasons known to him to say that's it. So, yeah, I reckon it's been one of the great careers, Joe, for where he came from and for what he did in the short time he was in the game.
I thought his achievements were outstanding given his entry into the game. He was an excitement machine. Bombers fans loved him. He made things happen. He'll be sorely missed by them because he's the sort of player that they really lack at the moment. And that's a small forward with bite, defensive pressure, scoreboard impact. They'll desperately miss him. He's not easy to replace.
Genuine point of difference.
Hey, Dame, it's a good point you make and about people coming into the industry from different backgrounds, and Anthony McDonald Tippamudi came from a long way back and hopefully leaving with a positive experience. I mean, we'd love to see another 100 more games out of him, but you just see this mature, great speaker. I think footy sometimes gets a bad rap and we don't understand. The environments are generally brilliant. Most people start and then turn out, I reckon, at the end in a better place than they ever were. So I hope that's the case for him.
Yeah, and look, people want to see that whole video. Essendon Footy Club released that this afternoon, late the afternoon, and Dyson Heppel, when he did have that moment of emotion, you could see him leave his seat, and there was emotion in the eyes of all the players listening to him, and Dyson Heppel just went down just to be next to him as a good
leadership, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We haven't seen too many more pure kicks in the game in the last 10 to 20 years. I mean, I don't think he learned any bad habits from where he grew up. And he comes into the competition and all of a sudden he could kick right foot, he could kick left foot just as well. But from a set shot, I mean, he didn't miss. No. He was a beautiful kick of the football, a nice compact run in a goal. It was very simple and he did so well.
And his chase down tackles were equally as highlight as his goals that he kicked. AFL Today announced after its commission meeting on Wednesday that the grand final back at the MCG this year for the first time since 2019 would stay in the 2:30 p.m. time slot. There'd been a conditioning of clubs, of the industry, of the public, that it was going to be twilight. They have decided, for reasons that do relate to fan sentiment, to keep it at 2:30 on Saturday, September 24th.
So you're telling me they've listened to the fan base?
That's what they've done.
Wow.
That's exactly what they've done.
Fantastic.
And the fans...
So the general feeling amongst the fans as a percentage from... I'm sure they do a lot of market research, is that's what the fans want.
As a high percentage. How high? Whether it's, you know, 75 or even as high as 95, but that was the overriding...
Makes
view
no sense at all, that decision.
No.
It
Why
is
that?
Just has no relevance in 2022 at all. And the idea that twilight is bad for the fans is just every single marquee event happens at that time in everyone's life. When you take your kids to the movie, I mean, there is no doubt. The only thing that is downside is that you lose about, you know, half of the country who won't watch it because of the time zone, i.e. New South Wales and Queensland.
I find it
the most staggering decision of the year in the most commercial environment.
Yeah.
And we need it more than ever.
I'm with you, Dust.
It just, you know, the traditions... You know, I get at one level, but not when it's a decision like that.
How much bigger were the numbers? How much bigger were the numbers for the night and the previous as opposed to the
day? It's a good question. Our producer would have a fair idea on that. He's shaking his head, but it's significant. I mean, it's significant to have in prime time compared to a daytime. I mean, anyone who's...
We don't have any prime time games on at Saturday afternoon right now at 2:30, do we?
As a rule, we don't. I mean, there's been some nice traditional clubs playing in Saturday's slots in recent weeks, but as a rule, Brownie...
I did Richmond Collingwood a couple of weeks ago on a Saturday afternoon. What do you think, Chiefy? Because I think I'm one out if you go with the night boys.
No. I like the idea of a twilight game because I think we got the best of both worlds. The first half was like an afternoon game. The second half was like a night game. So I thought it gave a little bit of something to everyone, gave us an opportunity to, I think, really dress up, in particular the halftime entertainment under lights and do light shows and all those sorts of things that we see with the Super Bowl. When you look at some of the greatest sports presentations around the world, they have that capacity to do it under lights, don't they? So I think from an entertainment perspective, we can't just be about the game. If we want this to be... a global event, we've got to be more than just the game. So I thought the twilight slot gave us a little bit of everything and kept everybody happy, but obviously I'm wrong.
Last year's grand final was the biggest TV event of the year, bigger than any other TV show, and you put it back to the afternoon. The State of Origin will beat it, the NRL grand final will beat it, and all the competition effectively will beat it. So anyway,
We're in a minority saying that, Darcy. I'm totally with you on it. I felt it should have been a twilight, but we are in a minority. The public has spoken.
But the public didn't want Friday night footy. They were vehemently opposed to Friday night footy when it came in. No club would touch it. Sometimes you've got to lead.
I agree.
And educate people. We wouldn't have Friday. We'd have an evolution.
The public wanted 12 teams in a Melbourne perspective in playing in Melbourne at 2:10. So
is it a better game during the day? I'm just talking you boys that have played it.
That's one of the arguments.
Is it a more skillful game during the day than the night?
Well, then that same logic should apply to the prelim finals and every other final too, then, wouldn't it? If you're mounting that case, I mean, I think we've jumped that hurdle a fair while ago.
Triple M rocks footy. Big moment.
Hot water needs replacing. Go for one that's steady, hot and strong. It's Australia's favourite water heater. You know what we're talking about? Built tough, rosy conditions and manufacturing right here in Australia for over 80 years. When it comes to water heating, ask your plumber to install Ream. You're listening to The Huddle. We're leading up to the Blues taking on the Swans. But now it is time for...
Tonight...
You're an imbecile of a man.
Two contestants face off in radio's most hostile quiz.
The depths of your stupidity have yet to be discovered.
As we look back at the week and tell you... You'd better be on your game.
And yes, this is a direct rip-off of Have You Been Paying Attention?
Now, here's your host, Jason Dunstall.
Oh, looking forward to this one because I know there's an easy target up for grabs. We've got Michael from Craigieburn joining us. How are you, Michael?
Yeah, good, Chief. How are you going?
Oh, not bad. How's your IQ, mate? Are you a semi-intelligent man?
I'll say that.
Okay, I'm concerned already. You'll be taking on Nathan Brown.
Oh, I didn't know this earlier.
Yes, you are good to go. Hey, Michael, just test your buzzer with your name, mate.
Michael.
Okay, and Nathan, you'll be going by Mini T-Rex. So just test your buzzer, please.
Mini T-Rex.
Beautiful. See, Duke, see what happens when you play along?
Why Mini T-Rex, Chief?
Oh, have you seen how short his arms are? He got the tiny little limbs on the little body, but he's a big, angry man as well. So, all right. Here we go. Let's come on, Mini T-Rex. Here we go. Question one. You ready to go, Michael?
Yeah, ready to go.
All right, question one. Spell Frydenberg.
Mini T-Rex.
Michael.
Brownie.
F-R-I-E.
Why? Just go past Duke's joint, look at the sign. Yeah.
That's our federal treasurer there, Nate.
Would you like to have a go, Michael?
I'll have a crack.
Yep.
F-R-Y.
Yep.
D-E-N-B-U-R-G.
Ooh. Oh, it was B-E-R-G. You nearly had it. Nearly had it.
Zip, zip.
Okay. Question two. The new rare virus is called what?
Michael.
Brownie got in first.
It's called monkeypox.
That is correct. No surprise that you would know about that.
I think Nate's got one on his forehead.
It's a good one.
All right. One zip. Come on, Michael. Get in there. This is an audio question. Who said this?
What will you think when you think about that day and what happened to you?
It should have been a penalty.
Yes.
Brownie.
So the little boy that got bowled over by Scott Morrison.
That is correct.
Well done, Brownie.
You still with us, Michael?
Yeah, I should have known that one.
Yeah, you're making Brownie look very smart. We don't like it. 2-0 is the score at the moment. Question four. Which former pop star medalled at the Australian Swimming Champion? Yes, Michael.
Cody Simpson.
Correct. He's on the board now. Yes. We got a game. 2-1.
It's a good story, that
Shane and Jack.
It is a good
story. It's a good story. I like it.
Question five. Another audio question. Two parts. Who said it and who is he talking about?
Michael. To be honest, he has my blessing.
Michael went first.
Me.
Yes, Michael.
Dimmer Hardwick.
And who's he talking about?
Mini T-Rex. Mini T-Rex. Mini T-Rex.
Dusty.
Mini T-Rex.
I don't know.
Mini T-Rex.
Well, he's already half answered it correctly,
Martin.
So no point there.
No point there.
So it's 2-1 to Brownie.
No, it's 2-1, Brownie.
Question six.
It'll be 3-1.
Question six. No. Stop it. Who was best on ground in the Waffle versus Sandful State of Origin match last Sunday? Yes, Michael.
Michael. Casey Voss.
That is correct.
Good one. To all.
You know, Nate, he's an early starter, and then he can taper off a bit.
Someone gave him that answer. Who knows that?
And he's now getting nervous, too.
He's Fossey's son.
To all, four questions to go.
This is the news all early last week.
Yeah. Of course it was.
Question seven. AFLW players got a pay increase. Nathan?
$94 million?
Incorrect. Would you like to have a go? I'll finish the question for you, Michael. They got a pay increase.
$94 million.
They got
a pay, heart attack.
They got a pay increase of what percentage?
You were close, Brownie. 94%.
Not only has he gone past him, he's given him a drive.
3-2. Michael's up.
That was close.
This is gold.
He has been given it.
Question eight.
He's been given the answers, clearly.
Which Kardashian got married this week?
Michael.
Michael.
Chloe?
Incorrect.
Ooh.
Brownie, I'm going to let you have a go.
Mini T-Rex.
Yes.
Courtney.
Correct.
Oh. 3-3.
Any idea who she married?
Yes. The guy from Blink-182.
That is correct. Travis Barker, the drummer. So that should last about a week. Question number nine. It is, what's the score, please, Howie?
3-3, Chief.
3-3. Another audio question. Who said this?
Just leave me alone, Simon. Please leave me alone. If you're suing me for defamation, Simon, I don't want
to... Yes, Michael.
Pauline Hanson?
Incorrect. Nathan?
I just got to listen to all the audio.
No, that's all you get. That's all you get. That's all there was.
Well, can I listen to it again?
No.
But... Mini T-Rex.
Yes, Nathan?
Who was speaking? What lady?
That was the question, yeah.
This will be good.
I got no idea.
This is a decider then, Chief.
It was MP Jane Hume confronting Simon Holmes, of course.
How did you got that?
This is for the winner, for all the chockies. You ready to go, Michael?
Yep.
Yeah, ready to go.
Last question. James Sicily signed...
Michael. Mini T-Rex.
Michael.
Brownie. Brownie.
Signed a new contract extension for...
How much?
Oh, how much?
No, I didn't say that.
3 years at about...
Incorrect. I'll finish the question for you, Michael. James Sicily signed a contract extension for how many years?
That'd be 5 years.
Yeah. That is correct.
Four to Michael, three to Nathan. And what's coming off for the prizes for Michael?
A Mark Howard autographed surfboard, you said.
Oh, that'll be good.
How good.
Well done, Michael.
Surf. Is he like Damo? Does he surf?
I don't know. Michael, stay on the line and you'll speak to our producer, Tunners, and he'll tell you all about your Triple M mystery prize pack. Sukhavati Bali.
Sukhavati Bali.
Candles.
Yep.
A night out with Damo and Snoop Dogg. Can't go wrong.
And Jake King.
Yes, and an outing with the Russian fisherwoman.
Yeah, and a date with the chief. Good on you, Michael.
The Listener app is the home of everything Triple M footy.
Fancy footy, that is.
Listen live or on demand. Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
David Rees-Jones to join us shortly. We'll get to our sponsor, but we've just been having a look at some vision, Das, of our man, the Chief, and David Rees-Jones in a bit of a skirmish. A bit of a kerfuffle.
I've never seen anyone less intimidated in my life than David Rees-Jones when he was engaged in the
Ran
Chief.
Ran off with his tail between his legs.
I've never seen you with so much hair.
How good was it? It was glorious.
It was lush, wasn't it?
It was glorious.
Do you miss the hair, Chief?
Lush. Was it the hit to the head?
I don't think that helped, given my skull went numb for about 18 months.
Right.
So that was probably the beginning and the end. But you know what? They're wonderful memories to have.
If there was a magic pill, Chief.
Well, finasteride.
What would you pay if I said, right, you can X number of dollars and you've got your 1986 hair? Oh, what would you pay?
Don't care now. Don't care now.
You can't put a price
on it. If there was something where you grow your own hair, great. But I'm not getting plugs like Brownie. I'm not going down all these different paths of looking like some mate. Try hard, please.
Would it work better for you with a dating, Chief?
Yeah. That's a good question.
I didn't think you needed to go there, Warrior, personally. But
good, sorry, Chief.
We can go back to Insta if you want.
No, we're not going there anymore.
Just been told in exciting news that David Rees-Jones is coming into the box.
Oh, brilliant.
He's not on the phone. He's coming to the box. He's not too far away.
Do you know what's happened? In preparation for the great Rees coming in, we're all going back through the archives, yes, and we're all glued to the extraordinary vision that is part of the history of David Rees-Jones.
Different.
It's a good highlights package in inverted commas, isn't it?
Brutal. We'll get to that when he arrives on the scene. How many changes for the Giants under the new coach?
I believe there's seven. Yeah, there's seven being brought in.
There's three omissions and four changes, yeah?
Yeah, there were. I'll just get the specifics up. And as we do, we just might have a listen to Mark McVay today at his first official press conference. The interim coach for the Giants are bringing in Dean Solomon from outside the Giants system, and also adding James Hurd officially to the assistants panel.
James was already involved in the footy club, and that was just a simple one, really. We'd spoken, and he just said, I'd love to help you in any way I possibly can. And he would like to step it up a little bit to help me, and I obviously wanted that. That was a pretty easy one. Of course, he's involved in the club. And the Solomon one was, you know, obviously really great teammate of mine, played a lot of footy together and then been mates ever since. We're very close. The Essendon players of that era are very close. We all talk. So it was a simple phone call saying, mate, I'd love to get you involved if you would. Love your experience. I know he's good with people. I know he has a great footy brain. He's been in my situation before. He's coached for over 10 years. It was a no-brainer for me. And he said, mate, I'll be on the next plane.
That's Mark McVay today talking in advance of the Giants game against the Eagles in round 10. Those changes specifically, Finn Callahan's out injured, but omitted Cooper Hamilton, Nick Haynes ill, Lachie Keefe omitted, Connor Stone injured, Lachie Whitfield injured, and Matt DeBoer omitted. So some big outs, Jesse Hogan amongst the ins.
All right, time for our cult hero of the week.
The Friday Huddle's cult hero of the week is the most reported player in VFL AFL history.
The umpire's already getting the book out. It looks as though Rees-Jones would be booked on, and by a boundary umpire.
A superbly skilled, versatile, agile and pacey player who played 182 games for the Swans and the Blues. His crowning glory was becoming a Carlton Premiership player and Norm Smith medalist after blanketing Dermot Brereton in the 1987 Grand Final. Please welcome the hyphen himself, David Rees-Jones.
In the box.
Oh, yeah.
David Rees-Jones. David, welcome to the Friday Huddle. How are you? How's life? And wonderful to see you.
Oh, yeah, I'm struggling around on bad knees at the moment, like most of us old blokes, but yeah, life's all right.
Reece, can I? We got so many questions. Yep. Great to see you. We've just been watching a bit of the old footage, which is amazing. And yet, there was no one, it seemed, that you were concerned about. Dennis Banks, Donald McDonald, you dispatched the chief without even concerning yourself. Was there anyone that even you went, you know what, I'm going to stay away from? Was there one player that worried you at any stage?
No. Look, I mean, you get out there and to be perfectly honest, you're safe out there. You know, I mean, you feel safe. You've got your mates out there. You've got umpires that control things. Not much can really go wrong. It did a few times.
Now, Reece, we did look at some of the highlights and Dennis Banks was amongst them. Mm. Why did so many blokes want to hit you? Explain that to us.
Well, I clipped Banks before that. But, I made a fatal mistake, so... You know, I should have run through him and knocked him out. But, I only grazed him. He split open. There's no blood rule back then. So, yeah, he stalked me around for 10 or 15 minutes. And I knew it was coming. I just wish I'd have seen it come.
But you're a chronic sledger too, weren't you? You didn't mind giving some lip?
Oh, yeah, I was lippy out there. But I wasn't, you know, I wasn't a shorey type. You know, I wasn't like that. I'd just say what had to be said.
Take you back to the 1987 grand final, and you were the Norm Smith medalist, and all week there was concerns for the chief because obviously the great Jason Dunstall, he was ill, he couldn't quite get up
ill
for this game, and it was 32 degrees if I remember rightly back then for the grand final day, and it felt like if chief didn't play there was only one player who was going to stop Carlton, and that was Dermot Brereton, and when the chief pulled out with the pee heart that he has, and you got the job done.
Yeah, look, I mean, it was one of those things. I walked in on the Thursday night into our team room, and it was on the wall. D. Reece Jones, the centre-half back, and I knew then. Oh, look, we knew Jason wasn't playing, which was fantastic. I think he kicked five or six the year before, and caused Bruce Dool to retire. He'd still be playing now, otherwise. But so you sort of look at it and you go, well, there's a bloody challenge.
How often had you played centre-half back?
No, I hadn't played at all.
Never played there before?
No, I hadn't played there.
That's a big move, isn't it?
So how did you go about it? What was your thoughts? How were you going to stop Dermot when you ran out on the ground?
Well, I actually went and seen John Dorotich, who played on him a fair bit, and he said, oh, you've got to bustle him and hustle him. I said, I'm not doing that. He's going to kill me if I do that. Oh, look, I had a bit of a philosophy. Dermot was pretty good in the air, and I thought I could beat him on the ground, so, you know, get the ball to the deck and use your strength.
It's a famous period in football, wasn't it? And you were a famous member of a famous footy club. It's fallen away a bit since that moment, hasn't it? Won a grand final in 95 after that and made another grand final in 99. But the years since haven't been great, and you wouldn't have seen that coming, would you?
No, not at all. Not at all. You know, it was the fines and the penalties that Carlton copped in the early 2000s. You know, they've done the wrong thing, but they should have admitted to that, but we had an ageing list at that stage. I think Silvani, Bradley was still around, a few of the older base. Kuda was on one leg, I think, at the time. So, and then when you can't get any good players, good quality players into your system, and that really did hurt us, but there were a lot of mistakes after that too. You know, bad recruiting, you know, patching up gaping wounds with Band-Aids, basically, and they're getting things back on track now.
And do you think this surge is the most real you've seen since that period?
Yeah, the list is good. The list is good. And I sort of look at whatever we get out of this year is a real bonus, because I think the next 4 or 5 years is when this team will stand up. And they've got a lot of depth. They're winning, you know, their reserves are winning games and up in the... You know, so it's all looking good.
You started with the Sydney Swans. So how did you manage to get to Carlton? What was the deal? And obviously you would have had to have broken bread with Greg Williams, because you had a few run-ins with him as well.
Yeah, well, when Greg got to Carlton, I heard it on the radio, and obviously we'd had a run-in before that, and that was my last year at Carlton, but I heard it on the radio, and I thought, geez, how am I going to get him now? I have to get him in a practice manager, run him over in the car park or something. I mean,
it was game on that night, wasn't it, when he broke your jaw, as Dennis Banks had done. I mean, that's serious stuff to happen in a game of footy when it was almost premeditated, the way that arm went through of the pack and got you.
Oh, no, it was premeditated. It was a good hit. You know, I mean, he was lining me up and aimed and got me. And I got him before that. There's an all in blue, and Diesel was a bit of a sniper, so I actually kept an eye out for him. And I knew he had a bad shoulder, so and I reckon he's just about to whack someone. I got him, and I bulldogged him into the ground and on his bad shoulder. And I thought, I've done my job. I thought, you're not getting anyone tonight. I was wrong.
That's right. We're speaking to David Rhys-Jones on the Friday Huddle. You mentioned the premiership, and Nath asked you about playing on Dermot. How is the premiership celebrated in the late 80s? No, how does Carlton celebrate the 87 premiership?
Well, it was about 33, 34 degrees that day, so it was stinking hot. So the actual night was pretty tame, really. Everyone was buggered, so not much really happened that night. But, yeah, she kicked off the next morning and and went for a while, and we went to London 2 weeks later and had the Battle of Britain. So North come out steaming behind the ears, and we're just getting home from the pub.
Got to ask you about that, David Rhys-Jones. So the Battle of Britain, and it was Donald McDonald and you went toe-to-toe and all sorts of stuff happening around the ground. I'm not sure if you caught up. Ian Aitken and Alistair Clarkson have mended that bridge 30-plus years later. I mean, what was behind all that from your point of view?
Well, unbeknown to us, North Melbourne got beaten by 100 points by Melbourne in an elimination final, and John Kennedy trained them right through the final series, and basically knew they were playing us in a exhibition game, and he basically wanted to see who had the shin bonus spirit, and he was getting into them for 4 or 5 weeks leading up to that game, and he told them not to talk to us before the game, not to associate with us until after the game. So we're on the plane, drank the plane dry, and they're all up the back, you know, reading books and doing whatever they're doing. And so, you know, they went in and took it serious, and we had no idea what you know, their attitude was, because we didn't want to win the game anyway. Because if you won that game, you had to go across and play another game in Toronto. Otherwise, you went to Los Angeles and had 10 days on the VFL. And win the grand final in 10 days in Los Angeles was very appealing to us.
So when you catch up, as I said, that's a great story for me, that Beezer Aitken and Clarko have finally mended that bridge. That was a tough one to get through. When you catch up with bump into Dennis Banks, or are all those friendships still intact?
Yeah, Banksy and me actually share the same birth date, the 16th of June, which is ironic as well. But I don't know how – he's a lot older than me, though. He won't tell me how old he is. But, no one knows. He was 30 for about 5 or 6 years then. But
there's no grudges held at all, Reece, any of the things you did?
No, not at all. I was at a function today with Diesel Williams, and I actually said to him, I said, what stays – you know, what happens on the ground stays out on the ground, but let me know if you're going to play another game.
You've got to get to a function, mate. But tell us about the 15 for 15 challenge. It's involved – forgive my pronunciation if I get this wrong and my ignorance, the Prader-Willi syndrome. Your young bloke, Cooper, obviously a star, he suffers from the condition. Tell us a little bit about it. You raised 30-odd grand last year. Congratulations for your efforts there as the spokesman. What is it, and what are you doing with the 15 challenge, David?
Well, Prader-Willi syndrome is an abnormality in the 15th chromosome, which is what puts us all together sort of thing. So, and you know, it's a non-curable condition. It affects the hypothalamus, which is part of the brain that controls basically regulates us, whether it's our eating, our thirst, our body temperature. So he has a lot of, and these kids, you know, there's one in 15,000 born with it. There's no rhyme or reason why it happens. It's just a freak of nature. But there's a lot of difficulties. We lock cupboards and never leave any food about, because it'll go in seconds, basically, if he has an opportunity. So, and a lot of kids, you know, have problems with their weight and control and weight-related issues if they do eat too much. So, we've got a 15 for 15 where I basically catch up with 15 stars from the past, interview them and get them on board to just create some awareness and hopefully raise a few bob for the. I've got a public Facebook page, which people can go to and get on there and follow the links. And
or they can jump on www.pwsavic. That's pwsavic.org.au. If you can spare some money, that'd be fantastic.
And one of my, which has already been on, has been Bruce Stull too. So
it's a rarity.
The legend Bruce Stull, who
doesn't speak anywhere, Reece.
No, he doesn't.
He's older than you on that 86 grand final.
All he ever did was grunt. Because he'd always be there. You'd know he'd be there. You'd hear him breathing, and he'd just grunt. Never said a word.
Well, he didn't even retire.
And
he
idolised the man.
He never came back after that.
Hey, David, we appreciate your time. It's great to see you in best of health and spirits. Good luck with everything you're doing with the 15 for 15 challenge. And you young bloke, enjoy the function and go the Navy Blues, eh?
Thanks, guys. Go the Blues and, have a good call.
Thanks, mate.
The biggest names, the biggest games.
Were you the jumper or the pole vault?
Triple M rocks footy. He's a self-proclaimed footy superstar.
I reckon I was probably the most influential player in the AFL.
He fears nothing and no one.
This is all off-air stuff that you're not allowed to talk about on air, but I've gone with it anyway. Yeah.
And he sees the world a little differently.
Just watching a Komodo dragon eat a monkey.
This is Nathan Brown's Top 5.
What do you got, Noodles?
Well, Howard, it's a bit more... we normally have a little bit of fun, but I just wanted to, I guess... shed a light on who I think, and it's Indigenous round, Sir Doug Nicholls round, in the last 25 years, going back to probably the mid-90s, where I've watched a lot of football, the top five Indigenous players in that time.
And celebration.
We've got a bit of audio, so it's a celebration. And look, there's a couple of apologies I've left out. Played 1 year with Nicky Winmar, who was an amazing player, but I felt like that I got
there.
Nicky, and I watched Nicky sort of at the end of his career, so I haven't got Nicky Winmar in there.
Five.
Apologies to Cyril Rioli.
Cancel it now.
I wanted to fit Cyril in,
Cancel this now.
How can you not fit Cyril in your top five?
And I'd also like to apologise to Sean Burgoyne because I couldn't get him in.
Oh my goodness.
Silk.
But when you hear the top five, you'll go, that's pretty good.
Cyril.
No,
so, at number five in the last, Cyril. So let's go back to 1995, around that time. So, in number five spot is a man who won a Brownlow at a very young age and also a premiership player at two clubs. It's Gavin Wanganeen.
Towards Paul. Oh, they're streaming down the ground. Gavin Wanganeen finish it off with a goal. Under pressure he kicks. It's hard. It's close. Oh. Is it there? Yes.
June knocking it on. Collecting. Marnie having a very good quarter. Will it carry up the top for Wanganeen to put the three goals in front?
So Gavin Wanganeen at number five. And you can't believe the left Surrey, can you?
No. Respect everyone that's there.
I love Gavin Wanganeen. Very hard to argue with that.
Very good player, Gavin Wanganeen. Now, at number four, I don't think there's a highlights package as good as this.
Cyril.
This guy has recently retired from the game. He won Goal of the Year four times. And I don't think there's a player who's been as universally loved as Eddie Betts.
Betson, you know whose pocket it is.
No
way. Oh, yes. There's always a way.
Stephen slips. Oh, look at the skillful pickup of Eddie Betts. Oh, what a goal!
70 from home.
Here it is.
Punches a long one. Jenkins.
Eddie Betts.
At the back's Eddie Betts.
Four.
Walks in, kicks his fourth. He's taken the piss. Little Eddie Betts.
So that's Eddie Betts at number four. You still got some issues with Cyril missing out?
Yep. I do, but I can't fault.
You can't argue it, Howie.
No, you can't argue. No argument.
I came through playing against this guy at number three in under-18 football, and I remember playing them in Ballarat one day, and I was like, who is this guy? He is unbelievable. Couldn't keep up with him. We put our best player on him, a guy called Christian Shevlin back in the day. Couldn't get anywhere near him. And then he became a ruckman, and he won the Brownlow medal as a ruckman, the last ruckman to win it. I don't think he turned up to the Brownlow medal with a speech ready like Duke did, but Adam Goods at number three.
To Grundy, back inside 50. Big pack forms. Picked up by Goods. Oh! Shot a goal. What can Goods have?
Look at me.
The superstar, Adam Goods.
Mike Pike.
A ripping goal.
Spud just jumping in over the top.
Who was the gun player that you put on him?
A guy called Christian Shevlin.
Surprise, that didn't work.
So two times Brownlow for Adam Goods. And I don't think there's, well, I said it before, I don't think there's been a player as watchable as Eddie Betts at number four, but I've got the number two. And we've got a player who's still playing the football out here tonight. And his name is Lance Franklin, and he's the number two in my list.
How's he
of
not
top
number
five.
One?
Yeah.
This is
one-on-one's Franklin. He goes in that direction. Hooker went up, could have given away a free kick, and he has. Franklin plays on, takes a bounce. He's getting away from Hooker. Kick one here in the same situation. Oh, no. Second bounce, no. Runs to 45. Third bounce, runs to 30 on the boundary line.
No! No!
That is unbelievable!
No way! Goal of the year!
I'm not sure who we should have been more worried about, Carl Hooker or Duke's voice.
Started to break a bit there, wasn't it? It was a bit raspy.
Sounded good to me.
Sounded really good.
Chiefs just put down the headphones.
Chiefs out.
So
Chiefs
the out. Number one player, and I played against this guy, saw him up close, and on the biggest stage of all, the grand final, Adelaide, they won two premierships in 97-98. This guy was the best player in both of those in Norm Smith Medal, 97-98. But more than that, he was the best player in both prelims as well. Yeah. We sent Tony Liberatore to him, who was the best tagger in the business. He put everybody out of business that year. Come up against McLeod, and he kicked seven on him. Poor. Seven on
chance
him.
Chance for the Crows here to seal it if they can kick a goal. McLeod, always dangerous, but he's beautiful. Oh. Somehow he escapes. Oh, and he has just about done it. McLeod, can he put the icing on? Kick on the way. Goal. Yes. McLeod, you are a superstar.
McLeod might get involved here. He does. Here he uses it. He bursts McLeod. He'll try and draw someone to him. He's bursting. He's inside. Quickly. Keeps it low. I haven't been turned on like this in a long, long while, I can tell you.
So Andrew McLeod, number one. So that's my top five. I've probably missed some that people don't like, and they'd like to have Cyril in there, Sean Burgoyne. So hit us up on Triple M Footy. Tell us your top five if you agree or if you disagree. But I also found a little bit of gold, Howard. Mm. Now, Gavin Wanganeen kicked goal of the year. Now, when you think of goal of the year, you know what makes goal of the year? And I think I've done a top five on this. It's the actual call of the goal and either the mark of the year, the goal of the year. And
yes,
researching this today, Gavin Wanganeen kicked goal of the year. And a man who called the game, there was two people who called the game. One was Craig Hutchison, one was Bruce McAvaney. Now, you need Bruce in these moments if you were going to kick goal of the year. No. But unfortunately, Gavin...
Hutchie was cool.
Got Hutchie.
Oh, no.
Loose options everywhere, kick inside. Just didn't quite measure it, did he? Oh, Wanganeen caught McCabe napping there. Did beautifully. Can he finish this off with a miraculous goal? A la Matthew Larkin, Wanganeen has kicked a goal.
That's his trademark, isn't it? He is so innovative.
It was a little bit underwhelming for Hutchie.
Bruce came to give him a hand.
He did at the end.
A la Matthew Larkin.
A la Matthew Larkin. So that's the top five Indigenous players since 1995.
Oh, I was flat nose Cyril, but I can't argue. Yeah, I can't argue.
Triple M rocks footy.
Starting to rock and roll.
Unfortunately, we've got a seniors moment taking place right in front of us, Darce. We've sent Chief down and he looks lost. He looks indecisive.
He's where he shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I don't think his pass allows him to be on the green.
We've set Chief the task to go down and interview Michael Voss. We thought two great Queenslanders. And Chief, he's just sort of sitting in the interchange race, looking aimlessly out in the ground like someone who's jumped out of the crowd, Chief. Hasn't worked out where Carlton is stationed.
And Michael Voss is about to coach a game of footy, waiting for him. We can see Vossie over in the corner, over near the Blues race, and Chief is just...
Well, this is a man that owned the ground. This is 1,254, Chief. And he's wandering around like...
He's acting like an interchange steward, which is where he's standing right now.
He just looks lost.
Oh, now he's making a phone call.
Now he's on the phone.
Who's he ringing?
He'll be ringing Snorkel.
Well, can we put this conversation away with the Chief, or...?
We might need to get the beep button.
He's not sure. He's on the phone now.
Man, he's got a direction now. He's got the trot up.
He's not moving that well either, the Chief, is he?
What do you make of the attire, Brownie? You're the fashion guru in the box. He's rolling with the denim with the runner.
With the sports top on, and it's like a shiny, sheeny top, and then the runner.
Well,
the Jerry Seinfeld
I spoke to him about the runner. I can't believe this. He didn't want me to bring this up. But he's wearing an Adidas sneaker, a very nice sneaker.
Not with jeans.
Pays for them. 1,254 goals doesn't get a free sneaker.
I can't believe a man who plays tennis four times a week for an hour and a half is still that big.
Do you know what I'm, enjoying down here is that Chief's had to walk past the Channel 7 position. No one's ever seen Chief at ground level before, so he'll be hating every. So he's having to shake hands with Luke Hodge. Richo's looked over and gone, Chief's on the ground.
Richo's on here, he's just patting him on the back.
He doesn't get back. Brayshaw's giving him a little bit of feedback at the moment. All them. I mean, he's having to shake hands with everyone, Chief. Sean Burgoyne down there.
Is it Andrew Russell, I think, the fitness guy who's gone over to Chief?
So
this is social Chief.
The great really Michael Voss has been waiting all the time just for the Chief to find his way over there, Howie.
He's just getting wired up now, social Chief. Hopefully Michael still has some time.
Well, he's about to address the plate.
Chief, are you there?
I'm here, boys. Can you hear us?
Did you get lost on the way down, big fella? Or
no,
what
it's just a gentle
there?
Stroll. Just relax. Hey, listen, we've got Vossi. We don't want to take up too much of his time, so let's get straight into it. Vossi, appreciate your time, mate. Thank you very much.
No worries.
Breathe a bit heavy though, Jase.
You okay? Yep. I'm okay. I'm not going to have a heart attack. And don't fuel those blokes up there. Now, mate, there's plenty of outside noise about the Blues at the moment. Everyone's saying Carlton's back. They're going to be a player come September. How do you see the way you're travelling?
We've been consistent the last month. A little worried there for a couple of weeks whether we could get to the required intensity for four quarters, but... certainly the last 3 weeks has been really promising. It's steps up tonight because the opposition is pretty handy. But we'll get tested in a few phases, so we're looking forward to it.
And what parts of the game do you think require the most work for you to take that next step?
I think it's for us, it's been the system's there. Every time I've walked away and we haven't been able to get it right, it's been more trying to stay on task and trying to do what we do for longer. And we've had some challenges being able to do that. Some of that's the opposition and what they've done. But fortunately, the last couple of weeks, I think we've got better balance in our game. We've got... You know, obviously contest has been well spoken about. What we've brought has been a real strength of ours. The transition part of the game we've had to keep going to work on. We feel like there's a model there, there's a method there, and there's an intent, but we haven't been able to do it for long enough, and I think there's been some real changes in the last month.
Have you been surprised by any of your players thus far? Who's sort of jumped up a little further than you thought they might?
They've all had their moments. You know, even with Charlie, and that might be surprising for some people to hear, but I was just wrapped with his game last week. He didn't have it on his terms the whole day. He kicked six goals the week before, and tendency is you sort of think you can roll out and kick another six, and he knew he had some work ahead of him, given the fact that he didn't have his mate beside him, and he did. He went to work, he brought the ball to ground, our smalls went to work, and they had the biggest impact in the game. So I was really pleased with him, but there's been a few.
Big challenge tonight. How do you temper the impact of a Franklin and a Heaney when he goes forward?
Can you? I think we're trying to minimise as much as we possibly can. I don't know whether we can take away their full impact, but obviously we just have a match-up with Franklin, so they've gone toe-to-toe a number of times. So we'll lean on his experience there, and obviously Heaney's another one who's been able to impact when he's gone forward. So it might be a couple of different guys. Obviously Stock has come back in. He certainly plays those types pretty well. But he's only played a couple of games as well. Plowman can take that role as well. So now we've got our hands full, and we can't invest all our time into those two, but they are pretty handy too.
One of the big features in my eye, just from the outside looking in, is you've been able to unearth some small forwards, Durden, Owies, Fisher, these guys, that not just hit the scoreboard, put the defensive pressure on, but they have genuine leg speed. So everything's alive when the ball hits the deck.
That's what we love. You know, there's been a real advantage in our play, being able to... You know, when we get in our front half, it comes out with some delay. It'll be tested tonight because if there's a team that really take that on, it's the Swans. So our total defensive system is going to have to be really on tonight. That includes our forward pressure. But we've been really clear with our roles. We just want roles we want players to play. We haven't deviated from that. And they've really bought into it. And hopefully we're valuing it at the same time.
How far before we see Harry Mackay back, I should say?
I think he's post-bye, certainly a couple of weeks after that. Come out of the surgery really, really well. Very limited swelling, so that gives him a chance to get stuck back into his rehab.
Anything from the animal cage up there?
Michael, Mark Howard here. Great to hear you and Jason. We badgered as the two greatest Queenslanders in the history of the game going head-to-head. But,
oh, here we go, Jason. What's going to happen here?
Vossi, Jason thought his 12:54 had it, but he told us that you were named Queensland captain of the team of the century, so therefore it's you.
And he's filthy about it too, Vossi.
That's why we don't speak. We actually thought about that a little bit longer. No, it's I'm in the presence of greatness, mate. There's no question. But we'll always push the Queensland Barrow, won't we? Absolutely. So good Cooperoo boy here. I'm a Morningside Panther, so good rivalry.
Bossy, serious question from me. Last week you spoke about Charlie Kerner, how he led up and he was under pressure all day. They brought the ball to the ground. But I thought, I haven't seen a club at front and centre as good as what Carlton were last week. Every time the ball hit the deck, you had someone front and centre and then you took the ball away from there.
Yeah, we did. And yeah, first and foremost, you have to get the ball to ground, and we've spent a fair bit of time on how we do that. We also know we're up against some pretty quality interceptors this weekend as well. So we've got to make sure that those guys go to work hard, because they are undersized when it comes to that. But we feel really confident when the ball hits the deck that they can get after it. And the great thing about them is they've been hitting the scoreboard, which is a nice little bonus.
Hey, Bossy, there's always tension and pressure in the life of an AFL coach, but are you just absolutely loving what you're experiencing in these nine matches to this point?
Yeah, statistically so. Damien, it's been really enjoyable. And I think when you're seeing the players respond with what we're trying to teach, and they're just willing to do anything possible to be able to try and get ourselves better, and they've been open ears the whole time. I think that's what's made it really enjoyable. And then obviously you come to a ground like this and we're going to fill it with, you know, 50-odd thousand people. It's just, it's great energy. It's great energy.
Hey, Bossy, just quickly before we let you go, the sleeping giant, the Carlton Army, feel like they're back and that they are right behind you in a big way. You've been at big footy clubs before. Can you feel the enormity of the Carlton Footy Club behind you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've said this a number of times, not trying to take away the excitement. Our excitement that we need to generate is keep winning games. We can get more and more numbers. We'll never complain about that. But we also have to understand what we need to keep real and what's not real. And that's the process that we live in on a week-to-week basis. And I think the guys have been really well measured with the way they've gone about it, and so has the club.
And a new record. Michael, congratulations to all involved at the club. 81,303 Navy Blue members. How good's that?
Yeah, it's pretty special. I mean, there was a Sunday afternoon game here that we played, and we had 40-odd thousand people here, and they're not normally the shift that you get the numbers, but they come with bums on seats. And so a Friday night special, I'm sure they'll come out in full force.
Michael, we appreciate your time. If you could just send Jason in the general direction so he doesn't get lost on the way back up the box, that'd be fantastic. Good luck to you and the Blues.
He's already left, guys. He's on his way.
All right. That is the great Michael Voss alongside Jason Dunstall, who hopefully gets back up here, Darcy. I'm not sure he will, though.
He doesn't look well, the Chief. That took a bit out of him. I like the Chief down at Grand.
Yeah, he was much better than Juddy. not staying to sign autographs and take selfies, though, the Chief, be fair to say, Damo.
Well, he got off to a good question start, didn't he? Because he actually asked questions about players who were playing in the game as opposed to what Juddy did one day with Matty Scarlett when he referred to someone who'd been out for 2 weeks and wasn't playing in that particular night. And
Greenwood.
This was Juddy's better medium too. He was actually more at home on radio. That was, I think, the beginning of the end for Judd, man.
I think it was, wasn't it?
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.